This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We tape in the offices of Raider, a hands-on IT service provider that integrates all of your needs for advanced technical support, effective communication options, and cybersecurity. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work. We understand. Please visit RaiderSolutions.com for more information. I'd like to thank Iberia Bank, our premier sponsor. They support our community in so many ways, and their dynamic team is committed to serving the banking needs of clients in this region and throughout the southeastern United States. Iberia Bank offers the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Please visit iberiabank.com for more information. The generosity of Lafayette General Health also makes this podcast possible, and we thank them for being a premier sponsor. As Acadiana's largest nonprofit regional health system, Lafayette General Health is committed to restoring, maintaining, and improving health in the communities it serves. For more information, visit LafayetteGeneral.com. Rodney and Laurel Hess are our guests today. Husband and wife, business partners, and advertising gurus that created Rally Marketing. And now, Laurel Hess is shepherding the launch of her new business, Hamper, which is making all the news as a life-saving, on-demand laundry service that is expanding to Baton Rouge this month, March 2020. I'd like to welcome you both to Discover Lafayette. Rodney and Laurel, thank you for joining us at Discover Lafayette.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. We're happy to be here.
We're laughing today. You guys are entrepreneurs. I love the story, and I especially love the little video that we just taped about your new service, Hamper, and what it's going to do to change, I think, working people's lives as they try to, you know, get about their week, getting their laundry done. But before we start, I'd like to hear your story about how you met. I know you both have about 12 years of marketing experience in different ways. Rodney, you're more online digital. Mm-hmm. And I know, Laurel, you've worked at the Superdome. You've done a lot of work for big companies. How did you meet and what brought you together in business?
We actually met because of Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, I was a senior at Loyola, New Orleans, and he was a senior at UL. And when we evacuated for Katrina, my best friend is from Lafayette, so I evacuated with her and ended up living with her family for 4 months.
Oh my goodness. Going
to UL for my fall semester of senior year. Mm-hmm. And he and I were in the same creative writing class, but he was really mean to me. So.
He was. Did he have that beard? Did you have a beard?
It was more of a stubble at the
stubble.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was way better, by the
she
way.
She says that I'm mean to her. I just critiqued her short story, which she interpreted as being mean.
Well, you were rough. Also mean to me when you were working at Best Buy.
It took us about 3 tries before we really actually connected, because we were in class together. I was also working at a large local electronics retailer, which
yes.
I was not a fan. I did not have a good time working there.
I already
there.
Said so the
I
was, name.
So I was...
Your secret's out.
I was never in a good mood whenever I was working there.
Really?
And she went in there to buy her friend an iPod, and I was just like, I'm just going to sell this girl an iPod. So she had to do the whole... I think we're in class together thing. And I was like, yeah, we
Oh,
are.
You came on to him.
I just came to, but I wanted him to like me. And yeah. I was like, why aren't you being nice to me? Like, what's happening
I get that.
Here?
So she walked out of the store calling me a jerk to her sister on the
yeah.
phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably a bit harsher language than that, too, if I'm being honest.
Probably.
But it could only go up from there, right?
Sure, yeah. You know? So then my friend was dating one of his friends. And I was back at Loyola at the time. And I came back in town. And I was in his apartment without knowing it. And I was
oh my goodness.
Sitting on the floor. He came home from work. And there I was. And then we just started talking after that and became friends and then started dating like a month later.
You know, That's sweet, and it's kind of fun when you don't start out just like all goo-goo eyes, because you really have your eyes open
right.
about who is this person.
Yeah. I was not ready for a relationship at the time.
No, I made
she
him
just
date
kind
me.
Of, yeah,
your career was at Best Buy, obviously.
She just wormed her way in.
He just got out of a relationship, and I was like, but I'm your wife.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
We said I love you after a month. We're talking about kids and marriage after a month. Like, it was...
Yeah.
When did you get married?
We got married in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been together for a long time.
Yeah. Hit a wow. decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost. I think we're coming up on 13 years of marriage.
It's wonderful. So you have 2 children.
We do. Yeah,
and
two
you
boys.
Have a company that you both own, Rally Marketing. So you worked for other people, I guess, through the years. And then when did you open Rally Marketing? And maybe talk about that.
2016, I had left the job I was at previously, and I started with one of my co-owners, Regroup Marketing. And so I was doing that for a couple months, and the owners of Comet Developers reached out and said, we're spinning off our marketing department into its own agency. Do you want to come run it? And I had been doing my own thing for a couple months at that point, and I was like, you know, yes, because it's very hard to start from scratch when you don't have anything and you're, you know, trying to get a client base and you have, you're doing all the work yourself. And I thought, this is a good idea. So I went over there, and then I realized it was just a lot of work. We had to pull two marketing departments into one company. I had all new employees. We had a ton of clients. We had to maintain all the clients. We couldn't skip a beat. And I said, I need someone else to help me run this that isn't green. So I said, Rodney, guess what? You're coming over here.
Luckily, I within a month of her taking on Rally Marketing, I had gotten let go from the position that I was in, which I wear as a badge of honor because, you know, people are generally uncomfortable talking about being let go from a place, but it was honestly the best thing that ever happened to me because less than 24 hours later, I was hired on to run Rally Marketing with Laurel.
You know, sometimes the universe, God, circumstances do close a door so that you can have space to open another door. So I know you haven't looked back.
It was a roller coaster of a 24 hours, but...
Was it? Yeah, but it made sense, right?
It was also our anniversary.
Yeah. Oh. It was our wedding.
Can I return the flowers, you know, to Champagne's? Yeah.
Yeah. The next day, he called me on our anniversary, and he told me he had gotten let go. And I was like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And I went immediately to the partners with Rally, and I was like, guess what? And they were thrilled. I really secretly think they wanted him first, but he was never going to leave where he was.
Yeah.
And so they got me. I was B prize.
So talk about your experience. Rodney, why don't you start first with what you know how to do?
Yeah. So my career really started in search engine optimization, SEO. I started doing that probably about 11 years ago, at a firm in New Orleans. And, you know, after we had our first kid, we decided to move back to Lafayette. And that's whenever I left and got hired on as an online marketing director at another local agency. Mm-hmm. And that's really where, you know, my skill set kind of expanded. I really started in SEO, paid search, you know, online paid advertising, and some social media. But it was really that full service agency experience that really gave me that full big picture view of not just digital marketing, but marketing and advertising as a whole, and those foundational elements that you really need to be effective and even in the digital world.
Is that about the time when everything exploded, like the change from paper and not that there's no more paper print, you know, or TV ads or radio ads, but is that about the time when this SEO search engine optimization became important?
I got in at the perfect time with SEO because it was something that people didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was when I took the job.
We were still calling social media new media.
You were.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't know it was going to be digital marketing at the time. Mm-hmm.
That newfangled thing.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, it was in my time working there that it started to become more ubiquitous. And, you know, 5 years later, and it was a term that people still didn't understand, but started hearing. So I really got in at the right time.
Right. And Laurel, your background, if you could share some of that about your work experience.
Sure. Mine's a little bit more traditional. I started in PR. I worked at Weber Shandwick in Dallas for a couple months. I did PR for American Airlines and Verizon. And then from there, I actually came back to Lafayette and worked as a production manager for a little bit at for a local film company here, a production company. And then I went to work at the Superdome.
I read about that you were 9 months pregnant and working.
Yeah, I was working in the men's Final Four, 9 months pregnant. They luckily stationed me in a bunker club, so I didn't have to go anywhere. I was huge. And they're like, are you going to go into labor? And I'd be like, oh, I hope not, you know, because I didn't know. But I was there for 5 years. I was a sales and marketing manager. We opened Champion Square while I was there. I had roles in event marketing. I did corporate and convention sales. I was doing contracts at one point. I kind of did a lot of everything, but I was working pretty long hours towards the end. It was like 12-hour days, six days a week, events, things like that. Really wasn't seeing my son. He was probably not even one, and I missed like the whole year, basically. And so we knew it was time to leave. So I went and started working at another agency here. and then started my own thing about 3 years after that.
So the work you did in the past, you kind of know how to close a deal. You learned about business and what people want.
A lot of what I learned at the Superdome was how to write the most diplomatic clapback email.
What does that mean?
So if you have to put someone in their place, or it's sort of like a return, it's a not very nice email, but like I can say it in the very nicest way. So I'm actually a really good account manager because I can handle clients very, very well. And a lot of my clients I view as like my best friends, and they feel that, and I think they know that like I have their back. But if I have to put them in their place every now and then, I do it in the nicest way.
So
but I learned that at the Dome.
Without naming names, what would be an example of a message you could send as a clapback?
Can you think of one I've done recently?
Would this be if they haven't paid their bills, or you know, like maybe you didn't show up for a meeting,
or if they were being kind of feisty with one of our team members,
I
would have
a
very good response back. That was just nice. Pretty much anytime anyone at Rally needs to write something difficult to a client, they ask me to do it.
And we're going to continue to reach out to her for that help too, because nobody does it like she does.
Yeah.
It's a weird skill.
It's a talent. It's a very good talent.
Yeah. Before we segue into your new adventure though, I'd like people to know like what Rally Marketing does then. So you bring this experience to the table, both about 12 years. What do you do for your clients? Why do people come to you?
It's all about amplifying their voice through digital marketing. So their brand, getting it out in front of the right people. It's not shouting into the void like traditional media does because you can't measure it. So we know this particular client needs to reach these people. We know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. We really consider ourselves, you know, partners for our clients. We don't have clients. We have partners. We're always the most successful whenever our partners are just as involved as we are. And, you know, Laurel mentioned that, you know, she has relationships with her clients, her partners, and we definitely carry that over into our day-to-day. We always tell our account managers, it's like you're dating these people. You know, you really have to form a connection and trust there, and we consider that a huge value of ours.
Well, I do want to disclose that we're now partnering together, Discover Lafayette and Rally Marketing, and I want to tell people why. When I was at Innovate South, you know, I'd had you and Dustin Artigo on the show, and I was able to attend Innovate South. Some of the speakers, they were all outstanding, but you had a couple of speakers on one of the social media panels, and I think one of them was Katie Domas. Am I pronouncing it right? Domas.
That's right.
And I was so touched by her personal message, because I've struggled as a kind of a more traditional person coming up as a lawyer, legal pad type. I try to keep up, but I find with social media, I don't really know what to do. I feel like I don't like posting a lot, but I've learned you can't post too much, but I always feel like it's too much, you know? And she was sitting up there talking about this is what people should do. You know, about five times a week, you do this, you take a post, you know, dissect it, you do different angles, different pictures. And I was sitting there like, it was just like a light bulb went off. And I thought, I need direction because I'm trying to grow this podcast. I'm so proud of what we do. But as any new business, Hamper will talk about any business, you need people to know what you're doing and understand what the product is. And I know locally, podcasts are now growing in popularity, but it's an uphill climb for a lot of people to still understand that it's something that you subscribe to and listen to. And so I'm really grateful for you guys. So you're, you know, our new premier sponsor joining Iberia Bank and Lafayette General, but I'm grateful for the help. And I've got Abby Leonard helping me with some of that kind of like 1, 2, 3, here's what we're going to do.
Abby's great. And, you know, that really is why we always say that, you know, we're your brand's new best friend. Because we understand that this is a very foreign land. It's a difficult land to navigate. And that's a big part of our job, right, is helping people navigate this very confusing world. And to make sure, you know, I always say, do it with intention, you know, and everything that we do, we try to have an intent behind it. You know, just posting on social media to post on it is, like Laurel said, just kind of shouting into the void. Whereas if you keep an intention at the top of your mind in everything that you do, then it always guides it in the right direction.
It's so confusing because, you know, whatever your business is, you know what you're offering and you think it's really good. But if people don't know it, it does. It's just like a voice in the wilderness. And no matter what you do, lawyer, well, advertising agencies probably get their word out well, but there's so many small businesses.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agencies are self-marketing always comes last.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
You're so busy, like you said.
Well, and you know, we want to put really good work out for our clients, so they come first. Mm-hmm. So any initiatives that we have, we've tried to make it a point to make that forefront of our minds, and it just falls by the wayside sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So do you just represent people in Lafayette, or do you have clients in the region? Like,
it's mostly Lafayette, but you know, just last week I flew out to Los Angeles to visit a client there, to visit two clients out there, and
great,
you know, have a new business meeting. And we have clients all over the place, but they're mostly concentrated here locally.
Mm-hmm. It keeps it easier too, huh?
Yeah.
So you can go see them.
We like to see our clients at least once a month, face to face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any advice you can give our listeners? Like, if you're a small business, you don't have a budget of much, you know. Is there like some just bottom line advice you can share about what they should do to get their business name out there effectively?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we always say that, you know, a big step that people always skip over are the basics, starting with your mission statement, your vision, your values, your positioning statement is a crucial step of the process. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a mission, you have that intention of always moving towards that mission. If you have values, it guides the way that you and your business behave. I mean, if something that you're doing you find lies outside of your values, you shouldn't do it. And then, of course, it's really simplifying your message to its absolute core. You know, we have a process that we consider, that we call narrative branding. Nobody has a better understanding of your business than you do. But because you're so entrenched in it, sometimes it becomes difficult to articulate exactly what it is that you do, and it's most simple. So we go through this whole process. It's a long, time-intensive process that the end result is a two-sentence elevator pitch, essentially, that explains everything that you need to explain in as few words as possible. You know, we always say that it's surprisingly difficult to make things simple.
It is, huh?
And that's one of the things that we strive to do.
I think, too, defining your goals is extremely important, because I can't tell you how many meetings we've sat down with a client and we were like, what are your goals? And they just go, to make money. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
No.
And it's funny, and I think they mean it, you know.
They do.
I know
yeah.
you want to make money, but if you don't know who you're trying to get money from, that's a problem.
Or what you're really offering, huh?
Right, right.
Yeah.
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 So finding those things, those key things out, and then it kind of, it'll unfold itself, the marketing plan, because then you'll see, okay, well, if I'm trying to get this person to do this, then where is that person, you know?
And one of the best pieces of advice that I have for people, you know, I host the social media breakfast, you know, every first Friday, Buzzwords every third Tuesday of the month. And one of the things that I always get that question is, where do I start? It's there's so much, where do I start? And I always say, just start with one thing and get really good at one thing. Understand that one thing through and through. Stop trying to do a little bit of everything, because you'll never get good at anything. Whereas if you get good at one thing, let's say you get really good at, you know, Facebook posting. It's really just a short jump to get really good at Facebook advertising. And then it's a short jump to get really good at LinkedIn, and then LinkedIn advertising. And once you understand analytics, it's a short jump to really dive into, you know, your website's back end. As long as you focus on getting really good at one thing first, it makes the leap into these other verticals so much simpler.
But these small businesses probably, this is like, it's Greek, huh?
Absolutely.
To them. Yeah. I'm thinking about some people that have been in business 40, 45 years and don't even have a Facebook account.
And you also get distracted by the latest trends. I mean, you know, whenever I hear someone say like, well, what about TikTok? Get your Facebook in order first, and then maybe we can talk about TikTok, you know, if it's even still around. I think it will be, but, you know.
That's the newest craze.
I don't get it.
Well, someone had to replace Vine, right?
That's exactly right. I spent way too much time
did it,
browsing
though?
TikTok.
I mean, Vine didn't work for a reason.
I don't even know what that
good
is.
Point.
Did I miss anything? Did I miss? No, no.
It's short form
video. I think some people
video.
Might fight me, but.
It's short form video. 10 seconds to a minute long video is
right.
The very crux of it.
I want to, while Jason Secor's got his microphone on, talking about this, Raider Solutions, and it's now Raider.
Yes.
Y'all have really fine-tuned your message, but you did what the Hesses are recommending, right? Like, y'all really figured out who we are.
We had to simplify, and it was Raider Solutions, your IT department. And like, what does that mean to somebody? So I'm going to take credit for it. Sorry, Jacob and Chris. But it was my suggestion to get rid of solutions. I mean, Adobe Systems or Adobe Software is Adobe, and Microsoft Systems is Microsoft, and Apple Computers is Apple. Well, why is Raider Solutions not Raider? Mm-hmm. And just brand that and then come up with a good tagline, and that was, you just want it to work, we understand. And I think it's worked well for us. And just, again, go back to the basics and get rid of all the fluff and just try to focus on what you do and let people understand what you do. And I think it's working for us. I mean, I think we were talking earlier, we've doubled our employees, and we're getting ready to move here in a year, and I think it's working for us. Mm-hmm. So, and that all came from advice of a marketing company. So it was perfect.
There you go.
Yep.
It's really interesting because, you know, we talked a little bit about SEO and how the conventional wisdom is you need content. You need a lot of content on your website, and that's how you'll rank well. And I completely disagree with that. You need focused content.
Yep.
And if you have focused, clear content, then you're going to rank well because it's going to resonate with your audience. It's going to, you know, they're going to take action on your website. Whereas if you're just creating content just to have content, you might rank well, but what are they doing when they get there?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
They're bouncing off immediately because mm-hmm. they want to be spoken to directly.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'd like to pause if we can. We've added a new addition to our show, and you guys are the sponsors of this. I'm going to read what I have, and it's, you know, with you here, it's a little redundant, but we're going to do this now during every podcast. We're going to stop in the middle, and I'm going to share something about Lafayette's past. I think it's going to give our listeners something they can look forward to also, in addition to our guest, and learn more about where they live. So I'd like to thank Rally Marketing for sponsoring a new addition to our podcast, Discover Lafayette's Past. Rally Marketing is a full-service digital marketing agency that can assist you with marketing automation, content development, search engine optimization, strategy, or show you how to use social media to turn into a moneymaker for your business. Our friends at Rally Marketing are there to help you navigate the maze of all the latest ways to market online effectively. For more information, please visit rallymarketing.com. And now the moment. Did you know that in 1884, the town of Vermilionville was renamed Lafayette in honor of the French Marquis de Lafayette? That year, William Britton Bailey was elected to serve as the first mayor of Lafayette, and he served 4 2-year terms. Bailey was also the original owner of the Lafayette Advertiser, and his first publication was on September 22, 1865, not quite 3 months after he walked home to Vermilionville from the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia as a defeated soldier in General Robert E. Lee's army. He stepped away from leadership of the newspaper shortly before Governor Murphy J. Foster appointed him to serve as district court clerk in 1892. There's so much more to discover about Lafayette's past. Thanks to Rally Marketing for sponsoring this moment. And I hope you enjoyed that.
That's fun. That was interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm talking about him later this month, and I've learned a lot about Lafayette. That it was just such a such a hard time for Lafayette after the Civil War, but they came back, and he was a leader in our community. So guys, I'd like to, did we cover enough about Rally Marketing? Is there anything, Laurel, that you'd like to add?
No, I think that's good. I mean, the team at Rally is like mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I can express that enough. I mean, they're the most creative, just fun people I've ever worked with.
And you got about 12?
There's 12 people. Mm-hmm. And they're all just good people.
Like, and people really who we friendly. Consider friends, yeah. too. You know,
yeah,
we have a lot of fun together.
I play Dungeons and Dragons with, you know, three members mm-hmm. of the team every couple of weeks. Like, we hang out outside of work, and it's those types of relationships that we really like to
yeah.
foster.
Yeah, and I think that's how we were able to help do an event like Innovate South, was just the character of the team and how we all kind of pulled together to put mm-hmm. the marketing together and the plan. And I think it paid off.
Oh yeah, that's helping our community so much too. I'm bringing in businesses yeah. from all over.
Yeah.
So thank you for all you do.
Thanks.
Well, let's segue, if we may, to your newest endeavor. And Laurel, I'd like you to start with this. We did tape something before the podcast, but would you talk about Hamper, your new business, and how it came about and what you're offering people?
Yeah, Hamper is an on-demand laundry platform. So it's a lot like Uber for laundry. And it came about from sheer frustration. I was coming back from a business trip, Rodney and I are both very busy. We work, we have two small boys, and they go through clothes a lot, like a lot, a lot, as most kids do. And we have to do laundry. So when I got back from my business trip, it was a Saturday, we had T-ball opening day and we had birthday parties, and I was surrounded by laundry. And I was sitting on my kitchen floor and I thought, I'm either going to miss something or we're not going to wear clothes, which is not an option. So then I got angry because I thought about like Shipt or Instacart, and I'm like, I can get my groceries delivered and I can get food delivered. Like, why can't I outsource my laundry? Mm-hmm. And so that's really where Hamper started and came from. And that was not that long ago. I mean, April of 2018. So
H-A-M-P-R.
H-A-M-P-R. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All lowercase.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just came to you, though, the name? Like, how did this come about?
The name did not come to me right away. I have hated laundry since 2015.
Because?
I don't know why. Probably because that was when I got pregnant for my second son. I guess it was probably 2013 because I got pregnant for Milo around that time.
Everything turns yellow, kind of, huh? Like spit up and all this stuff, you know?
And babies produce so much laundry. And then when you're pregnant, you're tired and you don't want to do anything. And it's just, it felt never ending. And then I got busier at work. And then I had two kids to juggle and I doubled the laundry. And it was just, I hated it. And I thought, there was a post I made on Facebook a couple years ago, like, someone needs to invent a laundry service that I can outsource my laundry to.
You said that?
I said that on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It actually came up for me the other day, and I was like, oh, I guess I did it. But I wanted it so badly. And so it's rattled around in my brain for a couple years. And for whatever reason, that weekend, it clicked for me how this needed to work and how we could make it happen.
How does it work?
So the washing, the service is performed by private washers in their homes. So they are thoroughly background checked, vetted. Mm-hmm. Their equipment is checked to make sure it meets our standards. They have to meet the same requirements as a public school teacher. So very strict background motor vehicle requirements.
Like no felons or... Because they're going to people's homes, right? To pick up.
Yes. They're going to pick up and then they're taking it back to their homes to perform the service. So we make sure that their facilities are up to par. They will go, you place the order on your phone through the app and you order whatever you need, 3 loads, 4 loads, and they'll come and pick it up, bring it back to their home, wash, dry, fold, and deliver it back the next day.
The next day.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like $39, right? For you sign up.
We do have an annual membership fee.
But that pays for the hampers. Like you're giving them physical hampers to use, pop-up hampers.
Four pop-up hampers that come with the first year. And then the service is $10 a load after that, and one hamper equals one load. Mm-hmm. And the reason we have our own hampers is because it actually restricts the load size.
Yeah.
A lot of our competitors price it per pound, and who knows how much their laundry weighs. I mean, I would be so upset if I took all my laundry down to whoever the wash place with per pound pricing, and I'd be like, oh, no, I don't want to do
jeans,
that.
I know, everything.
And then you're stuck. Yeah, exactly. So this way, it's very transparent. You know exactly what you're paying. It's $10. Mm-hmm. If it fits in the hamper, $10.
Well, you started in 2018.
So the idea came in 2018. I pitched it to one of my partners at Rally, and he kind of latched onto it. Mm-hmm. And we spent the next year probably vetting it out and really working to make sure we had a sound model. And then we had to get the bag right. So he actually flew to China and met with the supplier and got the bag down. And then we brought on our CTO, current CTO, in May of 2019, and that's when app development started. So we kind of hit the ground running to develop the app. We had it live by the following December. So just this past year, we did a closed beta. So it was
what is that?
Fast.
What is a closed beta?
So that was our testing ground. We had everybody at Rally like sign up to use the service, and then we had actual washers onboarded to perform the service. And
people like me, like people that work at home, they just contract with you.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they were running through the traps to make sure the app was sound before our launch on January 15th, which was Rodney's birthday.
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Another special occasion. So if you don't mind giving more details, because I find this fascinating. So you sign up at, what is it, hamper.com.
It's TryHamper. TryHamper.
Mm-hmm. TryHamper.com. So people go there, they sign up, $39.
Well, actually, they download the app first.
Download the app.
Yes. So if you go to TryHamper.com, you'll see the app links.
Does it have to be on your phone, or can it be
yes, it'll have
on
to
your
be
phone.
On your phone.
So you go to your
phone. Could do it on a tablet, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're on an iPad.
So you download that.
You download the app. It'll walk you through the steps to become a member. Mm-hmm. You pay the $39. And then that's a yearly fee, not monthly. Some people think it's monthly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's just yearly. And then within a day or two, you'll get the hampers delivered to you in a membership kit. And
they're
then
shipped.
You can place your first order. They're actually, right now they're hand-delivered.
Oh, cool.
Our COO,
Rodney, you're doing that?
No.
A couple of times, but...
Have you delivered a hamper?
Uh-huh.
Our COO does most of our deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually out right now making deliveries. And I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to Baton Rouge today for our Baton Rouge launch.
Yeah.
And I'm delivering Baton Rouge orders.
Yeah. So people sign up, they call on the app. They don't call. They say, I'm ready. Got four loads ready. And somebody shows up at your house.
Yeah, so they will like scan the hamper. They all have QR codes on them. They scan the hamper and set a preference for that hamper. So let's say you have all towels and you want them washed on hot and you want, you know, your own detergent. So you can do that. You can set your preferences per hamper and then put, there's a pocket in the hamper for your detergent if you want to include your own. If you don't, we have a partnership with Drops, which is actually the inventor of the laundry pod. And they have a scent-free, dye-free, very, very safe, eco-friendly detergent that all of our washers have on
gets hand. The job done, gets the stains out.
Yes, it's very great at what it does, and then it's scent-free, dye-free, so if you have skin allergies,
right,
it's perfect.
So if you've got some dirty loads, let's say kids with you know, grass stains in the knees, do you just dump it in the hamper, or do you have to like treat it first? Like,
yes.
How do you treat your laundry?
We do ask that all the customers pre-treat any stains, because what happens is whatever's put in the hamper is going to go directly into the washing machine. And the washer is not sorting and checking on their end. Every now and then they will pull something out if they see it and make a note of it. But oftentimes they're just taking the hamper and dumping it directly into their machine.
What's the best spray? Like, what do you guys like to use to get out stains?
I am obsessed with OxyClean.
You are? A spray?
Oh, yes.
Or
it's
like...
not a spray.
Uh-huh.
So you get a big bowl and you get some warm water and just put some OxyClean in it and then let it soak for 3 to 6 hours, or if you're like me, 3 days because you forget about it. And it's fantastic. Then it's gone.
She I like
literally
OxyClean.
Just discovered OxyClean like a month ago.
Wait.
Oh.
I know. It's like your new best friend
really
besides
is.
Rodney. Huh?
That's right.
Do you know about Zoat? Have you ever seen the...
No.
Okay. For a dollar, I'm telling you, I found this I don't know if it was online first, but it's a pink bar. It looks like a bar of soap, but it's pink, Z-O-T-E.
Hmm.
And I'm telling you, I mean, you have to get some water with it, but if you've got some stains that, let's say, OxyClean didn't get out, it gets out. It's a miracle. It's an old thing people used to grate to make home detergent. Like, if you're really into... you know, like just ecology and just keeping things simple. You can grate it and make your own detergent. But I found out, like, if I've got a towel that's got a stain on it from somebody that used makeup, not that people do that, but, you know, leave things stained in my house. But you can take it, just wet it a little bit, and it just, but it's a little bit more work probably than OxyClean. But for a buck, you've got something that lasts. Yeah. I didn't try it on grass stains for kids, but I remember when my kids were little, I have two girls. They would just get into things.
Oh,
like, what did you do today at school? You know,
I picked up our son from school last week, and he had a cut in his pants.
He just cuts his pants.
In the same place he had a cut the week before, which I knew I threw those pants
away. How did he
away.
Do it?
He says he fell on rocks, but I think he cut himself with scissors.
With scissors?
Oh, yeah.
I think he did.
Those cuts were clean.
Yeah,
but he's into, like, latest fashion, right?
Oh, you know? My God. Probably.
You know, people pay
like
extra for that, Laurel.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
It's just leading edge fashion in second grade.
But anyway, is it fun? I mean, this has got to be an adventure, huh?
I have to remind myself every now and then of what we're doing and how far we've come, because sometimes you get so in the weeds of the day-to-day and the minutia and the stress of, you know, startup world, which is I have to raise money to keep going. And that
you're having to do that now.
It's not my favorite thing, because you know, it's distracting from the business. I want to focus on growing Hamper. I don't really want to focus on the fundraising aspect, but, you know, as CEO, that is my job, that's my function. So I do it, and I enjoy doing it when I'm doing it, but I'm excited for seeing what Baton Rouge will do for Hamper and to see where we go from there. But
so right now you're a corporation, you're the majority owner.
Yes.
And I know Rodney's a partner with you, but how, you know, do you have to go to invest, like angel investors? What are you looking at?
So we've been doing angel investment pitches. And we've gone to individual investors to do pitches. We've talked to investment firms. Basically, anyone who we can talk to, we pitch and try to get some capital to keep going. We have a couple months of runway, and we're raising another round right now. So I'm looking forward to closing out that round so we can hopefully get to our Series A at our next round. And we think that with the revenue and the traction that we're getting already out the gate, just 6 weeks into it, we really feel strongly that we're going to be there within the year.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that, like the traction you've gotten so far in Lafayette? Are young mothers, like who's coming to you for your service?
A lot of it is dual income households with kids and people that have lots of kids. I have a lot of our repeat customers have three or more kids.
Oh.
Yeah. And you can tell, you know, when you go to drop off the kit, it's like they have busy, busy lives. Mm-hmm. And this is just one more chore that they need help with. And so that's the majority of our demographic that we make up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we went live January 15th. We have over 800 downloads.
You do?
Yep. And we have 200 members. We have generated revenue that took some of our competitors 18 months to do in a big city where we're in a tier three market. And we did it in, you know, 6 weeks.
Do you see this more like in large cities, this kind of service is more like New York City or something?
Yeah, a lot of our competitors are in tier one markets.
What is that?
That would be a Seattle or a Dallas, New York. Those are all top tier markets. We're a tier three market. So Lafayette, it's funny because, you know, we have more of a depressed economy right now, but we were able to do so well right out the gate versus a competitor in a tier one market that couldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's such a fun app, and looking at your website, it's just fun, you know. And when I looked on it, I also saw that you're encouraging people to apply to work for you.
Yes.
So if you want to talk about that, like for the people that you hire, what, I know you said you vet them and all, but they can make, a thousand or so a month.
Our top three washers that are super active, they average about $1,300 a month. Take home.
And they can do this while they're doing other things.
Yeah. So a lot of them, they have stay-at-home kids, stay-at-home parents. So they're watching their kids and they're washing for hamper at the same time. Or one works retail and he'll go and pick up a bunch of hampers on his off days and supplement his income that way. He uses all the money he earns from hamper to go on trips. That's his vacation fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like fun money.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you talk some, both of you, you know, for me looking at this, I just do the laundry while it's just like kind of second nature, but I work from home. So I've got that flexibility of throw it in the morning while I'm getting my coffee, and then I don't have to rush off to go bring kids to school anymore. I don't rush to get to, you know, a job where I'm out of the house. So I can kind of do things all day. Mm-hmm. But I have started enjoying, I don't get groceries delivered, but I do like ordering online, let's say at Walmart or other stores. Mm-hmm. What has happened? This is like the search engine thing you were talking about, Rodney. Things have changed fast. You know, would you talk about some of that?
The rise of the gig economy, the on-demand economy. And I think it's really started with like Uber and Lyft, where you could, or Airbnb, you know, you could kind of do things without having to interface with another human. I don't know what it is about the younger generation. They don't want to talk on the phone. And they don't want to talk to people face-to-face. They'd rather perform a transaction through their phone. And they're very used to doing that. And I think they're very used to paying for marketplaces, like a Rover or Wag, a Shipt or Instacart. Like, that's just ingrained in them. They'd rather do that than go into a store. It's interesting. I don't know the psychology behind it, but I do know that if I have to get in touch with someone who's younger than 30, I have to text them.
You don't call,
I don't
right?
call them.
Well, I also know that just speaking personally, you know, my time is limited and I really value my time as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to pay money if it means that I get some of my time back because as two working parents, you know, I'm running around all day meeting with clients, meeting with new business, you know, dealing with just internal things at Rally. And then I go pick up the kids, we get them ready for bed, do all of that. And then at night, I'm typically working even more to get some of that day-to-day stuff done that I just wasn't able to get to during the day.
You don't want to be up at 10 doing the laundry. You'd rather just be...
So it's like, what time?
It's a lifestyle play for sure. I mean, we talk about now, we use hamper every weekend. And just this past weekend, I looked at Rodney and I said, what would we have done, you know, in the days before hamper? Because we had birthday parties, we had dinner or lunch with the grandparents on a Sunday. And I'm thinking, we were running around, we had to get our son a haircut, you know, there was just stuff that had to be done. Or we would do laundry at sacrificing something else, like the lawn is really in bad shape. We need to
Well, everybody's lawn is probably in bad shape right now. That's a chore, huh? What could we call that?
Oh,
lawn mower.
Well, there is a lawn care company, a startup in Baton Rouge that's taking aim at that issue.
Really?
Yeah. So
you can do it like per job or something.
I haven't looked into it too much. Mm-hmm. It's called Block Lawn Care, but you can draw a map around and get bids on local, mm-hmm. I guess. What's the word? Lawn service companies to come to your lawn.
You know, I have a memory, and I'm not going to mention names, but it's some of our good friends. Rodney, when you were talking, it made me laugh, thinking about what the husbands do. And things, of course, are changing. I know you're an equal partner with Laurel. My friend, though, they're both professionals. I won't say what career path, but they're highly educated and successful. And one day, my friend was doing the laundry and folding while her husband's watching the Saints game. And she thought he was going to offer to help. And he's like, would you move over a little bit? You're blocking the TV. And she, I mean, I'm surprised he survived the afternoon. But this is a different generation, you know. And he works hard, but so does she. They're both equals in what they do. And I just have to laugh thinking how things have changed. But yet I hear from a lot of my younger friends, younger marriages, some of the dynamics really don't change. Everybody is stressed out. Mm-hmm. And nobody really wants to be doing the dishes, the laundry, cutting the grass, you know.
Well, I think we could go off on a whole tangent about the mental load on a working mother or mothers in general, because we do carry the brunt of the mental household. And
it's everything. Projects, we need clay, we're out of glue, and it's 8 o'clock at night.
We're out of toilet paper, we need to get more toilet paper, appointment. Yeah, he doesn't have any of that.
You don't carry that?
I tried to, but my brain just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. I think that's true for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a revelation. I talk about this quite a bit because I don't think it's something that men typically realize. It was a revelation to me when I realized, we're 50-50 in this. I pick up my slack at the house. But it wasn't until I realized that mental load makes up a big chunk of what takes up that space in your head. And so it's, I'm willing to take on more around the house because my brain just doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
I try.
If someone were to look at a division of labor in our house, they would think that he does everything.
Mm-hmm. It's visible, You're
absolutely.
Picking
I'm
up
doing
the kids.
Things that are visible.
Everything I do is under the waterline. Mm-hmm. Everything. And he realized it when we wrote everything down. I said, I don't think you see the things that I do and the things that I'm thinking about and taking care of. Mm-hmm. And when we wrote it down, I think that's when he really realized. Not that he was complaining or it was bad before. It was just...
We were literally trying to divide up tasks and chores.
But there was a time where I was doing half of the physical things, the things you can see, and plus the mental load.
Yeah.
And it was just too much.
Until you have children, too, you don't really see, especially when they're a little bit older, when they're walking around or they start pre-K, all the parties. It's like everybody else's kid gets all your money, all the birthday parties, the gifts you have to buy.
I thought it was going to be easier when they got older. It's worse.
And then they start sports. Little people are into everything.
Yes,
you know?
Sports and then homework and then you're worried
tutors.
About them at school. Yeah, it's a whole nother layer. I thought,
And volunteering at school.
Oh, yeah.
And then giving to the capital campaign, all the different things you're called on to do.
I was sure when they started walking, I was golden. I'm like, they're walking, they're going to the bathroom by themselves.
Yes, indeed.
I'm off the clock. No. So that's when I clock in. Mm-hmm. It got real hard. They weren't that potted plant where I could put them in the corner and they would just stay there. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different layer. Mm-hmm.
Do you represent your friend group? Like, are a lot of your friends like you, young, parents?
I think so.
Co-professionals?
I think... yeah, almost all of our friends are dual income with kids.
Women aren't staying home in your group.
I have a couple friends that stay home, but
they're
not
fortunate.
Very many.
Huh? Yeah, and they may be not miserable, but
it's
miss working
anymore.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's
and
a tough balance, huh?
I think that like we were talking about that mental load and the division of labor in the home. I don't think it's not everybody understands that. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of my friends still suffer with the old way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's traditional that you take care of, you, Laurel, take care of a lot of the details. Mm-hmm. But I'm proud of you for talking about all this because I have met quite a few young women that say, I don't think things have changed from my parents' generation because everybody's working hard.
Yeah.
But there's just so many traditional, the way we were raised, you see it mirroring what your parents or, it's just a part of life. Mm-hmm. So hamper... is one way people can make things easier.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we were at an event and we're like talking about Hamper and the husband goes, no, that's why I got married. And I get angry. And the wife is right there and she'll look at me and go, give me that and like take it. And I'm like, I know, girl. Like, I gotta see those four kids with you. You need this, you know?
Right.
And it just makes me mad because I think there is that mentality, and it's not everybody, but I do think there's that mentality of like, well, no, that's what my wife will do it. My wife takes care of it. It's like, well, she doesn't have to anymore. And now you can actually go do stuff together as a family.
I've never lived, you know, really outside of Louisiana. I lived in Texas for a short time when I was in school. But I don't know what it's like in big cities. But I think we're just more traditional. And I don't want to use the word provincial, but we have more old school values here. And we're catching up, though, with people like you. So.
I think so. We have a very big entrepreneurial spirit in Lafayette, which I think is really neat to see.
Yeah. Well, let's get people to go look at your website again. Try Hamper. It's TryHamper.com. And it's entertaining, it's light, and I think it's going to be a lifesaver for a lot of people. So, and I want to say, too, we're here with Jason Sikora with Raider, and I know you've taken some notes. Now, you don't have little people.
I don't have little people.
You have a lot of animals.
Yeah, we're going to circle back around to that because I like that you guys brought up the domestic side of things and what brought Hamper on. But I want to circle back to the very beginning of the podcast. The website for Rally, where can people get more information if they're interested in your services?
They can go to rallymarketing.com.
Okay.
And of course, find us on Facebook, Instagram, all those places. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn personally.
That's where people can find out about your the social media breakfast,
Buzzwords. I record all of those events, cut them up into small little digestible videos.
And those are free.
That's right. Education is a huge part of what I do.
Excellent. And now I want to SEO. So there's always been a lot of talk, especially we're in a tech company here. So there's always a lot of talk about SEO. Some people say it's just like this magic or like it's just a curtain that doesn't really exist or that there actually is a strategy to it and you have to keep up with it. Can you just talk a little bit about what it is and what you guys do to stay on top of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with search engines in particular and really anything nowadays, there's an algorithm. You know, they have a set of things that they look for when determining what site should rank for what specific search phrase. And what SEO does is essentially take advantage of the knowledge of what that algorithm looks for. However, I do think that there are a lot of people who use that as kind of a crutch. When they hear, oh, content is king, we need content to rank well for SEO, and they create unfocused content or content without an intention, and they think that that's enough. When the way that I look at it, you know, we have an SEO team. We have people who know what's involved to do good SEO and fully optimize a website. But for just normal businesses who either don't have a budget or the time, I say that if you write for your audience and you provide a good experience to your potential customers coming onto your website, you're doing SEO well.
Okay.
Do you mention your company over and over? Like, is it important to put, let's say, Rally Marketing or Hamper, when you're writing, do you always include the name of the company or is it more the content buzzwords?
It's a little bit of both. You know, the most important aspect is if you have a specific service, it should have its own page on your website.
Makes sense.
That way you're not clouding your services. If someone searches for SEO for us and we have SEO and social media and strategy all on the same page, it confuses the search engines. They don't know, you know, what key phrase or what service should rank above the other ones. So if you have specific services, have individual pages for those services, write, I would say, helpful, unique, authoritative content. Say it as simply as possible, but no simpler. If it requires, everyone says, oh, how long should my blog post be? And everybody says, oh, like 250, 350 words. I say your blog post needs to be as long as it needs to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plain and simple.
No, well, and I think you hit on a good point. Yeah, you can have the snazzy website that looks amazing, but if it's not organized properly, you're not going to get that SEO. And I think that's the benefit of joining up with a marketing company that also does SEO. They're not just creating an image for you with fancy colors and a cool font. They're also doing the back end stuff to make sure that you're seen where you need to be seen.
SEO is kind of just interwoven in everything that we do. It's really not a separate service for us. It's just a service that's included in pretty much everything.
And it's interesting because that's only because of the digital age. Otherwise, right. you wouldn't be even worrying about SEO. Yeah. It's more about what billboard do you take and things like that.
And again, those conversions that are the most important. People picking up a phone, calling you, or people filling out a form. I always tell my clients that I'll take half of the visits to my website if it means I'm getting double the phone calls. Mm-hmm. So that structure is one of the most important things. If people can't find an easy way to contact you, it doesn't matter how many people are getting to your website.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I don't even have this written down, but so you guys have to think forward when it comes to marketing and SEO and what's coming. Right. Is there anything coming like in the future that you've seen where you're like, we're going to have to get on top of this, like maybe VR or AR and putting ads in video games or something based on, you know, what a service is or what a service does? Or
I mean, I could go off on a tangent on, you know, contact lens monitors and, you know, AR experiences with pop-up ads. I mean, that's the direction that things are heading. I always say that as long as the ads that I'm seeing are relevant to me, you know, take my information.
Yeah.
They do that? Like if you're looking online on Amazon for something and then you're on another site or Facebook and an ad for that same thing comes up. It's like they know everything about us, right? They being
Jeff Bezos. Yeah, that's retargeting ads. Mm-hmm. So you can do that on almost any platform. There's a pixel that tracks you, that sees exactly what you looked at. And when you go somewhere else, you see that exact thing because the pixel knew what you were looking at beforehand.
I notice it also keeps track of how long you've looked at it. Because if I look at a guitar on one website for like a minute, all of a sudden it pops up somewhere else. Like, man, I was just looking at that guitar.
How weird.
It's so strange.
Coincidence, huh?
Yeah. It could be if you just visit the page or if you spend 30 seconds on the page. It can be a whole bunch of different triggers that will have it follow you around.
So we need to go to the public library and use their computers,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're looking for a car. You can't look for a car without just being bombarded.
Put up a heavy firewall, use lots of ad blockers, and lock down your browser.
You know, you mentioned looking forward. I mean, ad blockers are huge. You know, ad blockers are something that are even becoming standard on phone browsers.
Yep.
You know, so it's figuring out how to not get around it, but now how to reach people in a way that, you know, is effective, reach them where they are. Ad blockers don't block social media ads. So when we do retargeting, we do retargeting banner ads on third-party websites, but we always retarget on social media because that isn't blocked by an ad blocker.
There's going to be, I think, if we're predicting things, I think that Facebook, we're going to have to find a medium outside of Facebook to target people, and I think that we'll see the emergence of some way to target beyond that, because Facebook, the cost per click has almost doubled just in the past like 2 years, so it's becoming one of those things where you had to pay to play, and you did that, but now you have to pay even more, and is the juice worth the squeeze at this point? So understanding that Facebook is a rented platform, you don't own anything on it, and it can be taken away from you, you really need to shift focus to your email list and what you can own so that you can engage with your customers or potential customers, you know, as you need to.
Yeah, I see a time in the near future where Facebook advertising isn't even going to be something that we offer as a useful strategy. It's still useful now.
Yeah, right? Certainly. Yeah. But it seems, it's becoming a little oversaturated.
It's becoming a very crowded market.
Well, I'm curious. So, like, I have the Echo in here and I have the Echo Dot in my office over there and four of them in my house. And even today, I got my notification and asked if I want weather alerts. So I see more advertising like that. There's a huge open market for that. And now they have the Echo glasses that they're beta testing. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, so then I'm going to get pop-ups on my glasses when I'm walking around?
Yeah.
And that's quite possible, I think.
Voice searches, I mean, that's not even something that's coming. That's something that's already here.
Yeah.
Optimizing for voice search is huge.
Wow. Whole new world. I still remember the old rotary phone, so you know, I'm sure we all do. Now you can just say, call this. Moving on to Hamper, so as you guys expand, do you see that you're going to have to compete with other companies, or is this like a very unique thing that you guys are doing, at least regionally?
Yeah, I think we probably won't run into a competitor for a while.
Okay.
What we're doing right now is pretty unique. It's unique even among people who are doing on-demand laundry, because a lot of our competition in tier one, tier two markets either have to build laundromats and then staff a workforce to actually process the laundry, or they have to make relationships with existing laundromats and then they outsource. And so they're layering on top of them. There's nobody really doing our model. And it means we can scale quicker. So if we see someone in, you know, Lake Charles who wants to wash and we see some interest, we're live in Lake Charles. we can launch a market with just a couple clicks.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to learn a lot about doing laundry in order to do this, or is it more of a business type?
Luckily, no, because I hate laundry. No, I had a crash course in startups and fundraising and figuring out, you know, cap tables. I remember our attorney sent me my cap table for the first time, and I said, talk to me like I'm in second grade, because I don't understand this stuff. So I know it all now. I've said words I never thought I would say in my life, and, you know, I'm excited. I think I like to learn, and so we're growing really quickly, and the traction is great, and so I'm really excited to be on the ride.
Excellent. Do you guys have any advice for, say, somebody has an idea, not necessarily Hamper, but something else, but they don't really have the business skills to make it happen? I've got a ton of ideas. I can spew them out all day. Yard sales was one of them. Maybe I'll talk to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't have the business skills to get this off the ground. So what would your advice be for, say, somebody like me who has, I think it's a good idea, but I don't even know where to go from here?
Yeah, that... I got really lucky with Hamper because I'm the same way. Like, I had an idea and I know how to market it, but I don't have an operational background and I don't have a tech background. So I actually just happened to pitch it to the right person and it worked out for me. So he had an operational background and knew how to get to the next step. But in Lafayette, we have really good resources just in the Light Center alone with Opportunity Machine. They can connect the dots. I have sat with Destin and talked to him about some issues that we're having and things that I need. And he's like, okay, you need to talk to this person, that person, this person. So the entrepreneurial spirit in Lafayette is bolstered by the fact that we have a really, really good incubator that will help you. So
they helped you, like, you need to have a lawyer for this. You're going to have to do,
and they can,
I guess,
they
trademark,
can
trade right. Yeah.
Luckily, we kind of knew a lot of that already because the person, my partner, Spencer, his first cousin is Chris Moe.
Oh, okay.
With Waiter.
Okay.
So we had a lot of help out the gate with what we needed to do and how we needed to do things. And then around the time that some people were, like, leaving Waiter, they were helping us with some of our app development. So we got lucky. But I have used Destin as a resource and Opportunity Machine as a resource. And I would say anyone who has an idea to start there for sure.
And that is taxpayer funded. So I want people to know they can contact the Opportunity Machine and... There may be some minimal charges that you incur, but it's there for the public to use for this purpose.
And people don't realize how forward thinking the Opportunity Machine is here locally. I mean, there aren't that many other business incubators here in Louisiana that operate quite like Opportunity Machine does. Mm-hmm. It's a hugely valuable resource for our local community.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it's on par with, like, the New Orleans incubators.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Raider Solutions is a graduate of OM.
Right.
And here we are 10 years later with 40 employees. So it works.
It works.
there's a reason they're there, because they work.
There's your plug, Destin. Yeah.
I always think I'm like, Destin, I love this.
Then circling back to where we ended, dividing the house chores. This wasn't supposed to turn into a relationship type podcast.
Listen to this, though. He's got a story.
So I had to sit down and do the same thing with my wife, and, you know, like, well, I'm too busy to do this. I'm too busy to do this. Our mornings, we don't have any kids, but our mornings are packed because we have two dogs, five cats, five chickens, a koi pond, and two fish tanks.
Wow.
So it's just an hour before I even get around to a shower in the morning taking care of all that. So I had to sit down and, all right, so you take care of the dogs and the cats, you take care of the chickens and the fish, and then, all right, I'll do the dishes, and then you get breakfast ready. And then when we get home, you do dinner, but I'll make sure dishes are done from the cats that we fed. So, yeah, you have to sit down and really, you get to see, if you sit down and write it down, what each person does and realize you're both doing a lot more work than you think you are.
It's like a dance routine almost, you know?
It really is. Yeah. And then let's not even talk about house cleaning and laundry and everything else. Ugh. Just standard living takes up most of your day.
Right.
And then you have chores on top of that and mowing the lawn and everything else that you have to do.
Do your chickens have names?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Do they respond?
No.
No. No, like, somebody's going to fry the chickens.
Right.
No, there's Rosie.
I don't know how to cut this down.
Rosie and Sasha are the escape artists. And there's Nutterbutt. And then Jersey Girl and Jenny.
Oh, boy. Jenny. Jenny.
Jenny's the original one. Yeah, she's been there forever. Everything gets a name. Our beta fish is called Blueberry. I think our Pleco has a name as well. I don't know it offhand. And then all of our koi fish have names.
Fun.
You have to name everything. Yeah. Even our bed even has a name. Our sleep number bed has a name. I don't know what it is offhand, but it's on my phone. Everything gets a name. Oh, and each one of our light bulbs in our house that has a smart plug has a name. Yeah,
no.
Dave and Becky and Brian.
This is way too much.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. So
yeah, Alexa, turn on Brian. And then the light
in the front bed.
Yeah.
Turn on Brian. Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. We've gone above and beyond in our house. But it's great because you just walk around, get the weather, or turn on
That's
lights
right.
wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's I love the new world, but it's a lot. A lot of Wi-Fi devices in the house.
It doesn't freak me out. Some people get really freaked out by Alexas and the Internet of Things. And they're like, oh, they're listening to me. I'm like, cool. Let them listen to me, because I'd rather get things marketed to me that I care about and I'm interested in. And they're listening to you anyway. Everyone's walking around with a cell phone.
And really,
we're all walking around with tracking devices in our pocket.
Yeah.
And our conversations are generally boring to most people.
That's right.
Like, we're talking about the Netflix show that we're watching. Like, who really cares?
And, like, naming light bulbs.
Yeah, exactly. literally, we had to talk. Is we named this one Becky or Alana? I don't know.
I always think people, though, that are worried about things, they probably have a reason maybe to be worried.
You know?
You don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
no.
That's good point.
Yes. So then we should look out for those people.
Anyway, we could go on forever, but thank you both for being here. This is your second time, Rodney.
Yeah,
so thanks
Rodney.
For having me back. And Laurel, we got to have you guys back in like a year and like catch back up on what's going on.
I would love
that.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you both
for
helping us. Yeah, thanks for helping Discover Lafayette too. I'm so honored.
It's our pleasure.
To be partnering with you. So thank you and your team at Rally Marketing. And best wishes on Hamper.
Thank you.
And I do want to hear more about this. And I want to thank people that listen. You can, if you haven't already subscribed, please go to your phone. You can press that podcast app, the little purple app. Type in Discover Lafayette. You can have it delivered to your phone every Friday. We also have our website, discoverlafayette.net. And again, this podcast would not be possible without Raider and Jason Sikora producing it. And then, of course, Iberia Bank, Lafayette General Health, and now Rally Marketing. So thank you so much for your support. And please let your friends know about Discover Lafayette. Thank you for listening.